Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we unpack the book of James. It's a personal, powerful, and yet practical book. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode, today's conversation, really, in Everyday Truth. I can't get over that word, everyday truth. Yeah. We're everyday Christians. We have everyday problems. But praise the Lord, we have everyday grace, everyday mercy. And we're glad, Brian, that you're back with us today. We've been in this discussion from James chapter 2 about faith and the importance of our faith and the importance of a faith that is real. Of course, when we talk about faith, we think of the great faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11 and the very definition of faith, which is it is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So it's not a pie in the sky. Sometimes in modern usage, we kind of use the word faith as a synonym for, I mean, I really don't know what's out there, but you know, I hope, you know, I wish this would be my pipe dream. But that's not the biblical faith, is it?
No. In fact, that whole chapter, I mean, by faith, Abraham, and then there's an action word. Mm. So the whole chapter, just every person by faith, he, and then there's some kind of action word, which ties right into James chapter 2. Faith is that dynamic, acting, living, working and serving dynamic in our lives.
So if we believe in what cannot be seen, but what is real, God and eternity and the things that the Bible declares to be true, it's going to affect our value system, because Moses said he esteemed the reproaches of Christ more valuable than the riches of Egypt. I'm not quoting that correctly, mm-hmm. but choosing rather to suffer affliction. So it's going to affect the way you think. It's going to affect what you value. It's going to affect the choices you make, the road that you take, all of that. So in James chapter 2, we have this hypothetical situation where somebody has a need and the person who alleges faith, I have faith, says, hey, you know, I see your need. Be you warmed and filled. Is that faith? No, that's dead.
Of course.
Or here's a person that's moved emotionally. Man, I believe in God and I tremble when I think I'm going to have to face him one day. But Their life is not demonstrably different. Is that real faith? No. The Bible answer is no.
Right.
So I guess the question for today is, what is real faith? What does it look like? And I think let's finish reading the chapter, and then let's talk about that. What does a real faith look like? And then I think the question we talked about yesterday, or last episode, I should say, was, is it ever valid for us to use the criteria of the Word of God and what it says about faith and works to apply, to microscope our own life? So look at, if you would, listeners, Brian and I are actually looking on the text itself right now. It says in verse 19, thou believest there's one God, thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble, but wilt thou know, O vain man? What a thought, oh empty man, that faith without works is dead. And then two illustrations that James gives, which really in church history have been controversial.
Right.
Martin Luther really struggled with the book of James because he was so raw coming out of the Roman Catholic Church and so anti-works salvation that I think he couldn't see the forest for the trees when it came to the book of James.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's important. I think if you're not careful, you can look at this text and not wrestle through it. And because we are so passionate about our, you know, correct doctrine, which we obviously have to be, we have to let God show us that the Word, there's no conflict in the Word, is what I'm getting at. There's this is not an anti-statement against justification by faith.
Right. He's not standing in opposition to Romans or to Galatians,
right,
which some people would say.
Right.
For sure. So here are the controversial verses. Okay. Verse verse 21. Was not Abraham our father? So James, writing to Jews, comes back to the father of the Jewish faith. He's a father of our faith as well as believers. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Oh, danger, danger. Right. When he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou? So he said, I want you to see this. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God. It was imputed unto him for righteousness. So there it is. What was imputed? The faith was. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. There's kind of the summarizing statement. So dynamic faith. Dynamic faith is illustrated through the life of Abraham. Another great passage, listeners, for you to consider along these lines is Romans chapter 4.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, but it says of Abraham being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was able also to perform, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So Abraham is one abiding illustration of faith. Sometimes he's called the father of faith. And then Rahab, the harlot, who had received the spies sent by Joshua there in Jericho, she is accounted as a great woman of faith because of what she did. So help me to understand, Brian, how do these passages not mean we're saved by faith and works, and how do they buttress some of the things we've already talked about?
Yeah, well, you know, justified itself is a concept of declaring, not creating. So if I'm declared righteous, it doesn't mean that I had the righteousness in and of myself. It means somebody else granted me that status. And so when it says that Abraham—
That negates works right there.
Yeah, well, exactly. So when Abraham was declared to be a man of faith by works, I just think that that was what authenticated his faith was genuine. So their works were simply a demonstration that their faith in God was genuine. I mean, in fact, even in the Rahab story, the way they asked her to believe them and what they said was to do an action, throw the cord out your window, and that'll be the way that we know where you are and that you've believed us.
And even specifically to kind of back that up, you know, because the Bible specifically references it, says once she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Mm-hmm. So the fact that she hid them, told the people, oh no, they're gone. They ran back to their camp. And then remember, she sent them out another way. She sent them up to the mountains to hide out for a few days. So just the whole plan of not obeying the system of Jericho, but rather seeing that this was a God thing, demonstrated her faith in God.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Oh, absolutely. The reference is slipping me right now, but there's even a reference in the New Testament to obeying the gospel. There's a call to accept and believe. It's not a work that is getting me anywhere, but it is a definite call to faith that I respond to, and then God is the one who declares me righteous. You know, I just thought of this too. Another way I think that's interesting, some people struggle with this, but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an active tense verb, and thou shalt be saved. That's passive tense. I did the believing. God did the saving. And I think sometimes I don't know why it's so hard for people to, even in the act of salvation, there's an acceptance, a belief that is coming that is demonstrated by my calling on the name of the Lord or whatever.
I think why we struggle with it is because man is hardwired for works-based salvation. He's hardwired. And Jesus dealt with that even with the religious leaders of his day. Okay. And I love the way he played with the words a bit when he said, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him. That's,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, right.
So you want to talk about works? Let me talk about works.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Believe,
there
you know,
go.
Because
exactly
the work
right
is his. Mm-hmm. He that began a good work mm-hmm in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. But make no mistake that works in my life are going to be the indicator to others and really to myself.
Sure.
Because what have we learned in this very book, Brian? We've mm-hmm learned that it's possible to be self-deluded. Mm-hmm. And self-delusion takes place in chapter one when we hear the word. And the implication is that we're understanding it. You know, I get it. I agree with it, ostensibly. And yet I don't do it. When I'm a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, I deceive my own self.
Yeah, and then at the end of chapter one, true religion is spoken of as obviously opposed to a false or a phony veneer type religion. So James, right from the get-go, is discussing an authentic faith that bears under trials. And I mean, that's what he's saying through the whole book. This is kind of the whole theme of, you know, Christianity and work boots. And this is the way that the Christian life looks practically. So if you don't have a practical nature to your faith, if it's not producing in your life a change, a demonstrable change, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Well, that's not just theological newness. That is a whole new position, a whole new function, a whole new way of discipleship and a lifestyle that is demonstrably different, built on my faith in Christ.
Yeah, the grace of God that bringeth salvation, yeah, it teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. There's going to be a consequent difference mm-hmm in your life as, you know, faith evidences itself in works. I mean, listen, listeners, if our churches were as healthy as what we know and what we talk about, we would have won the world to Christ years ago.
Right.
If talk equated to action, man, we've got it. But the fact is, talk is cheap. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk
exactly
talks. Sometimes I'll give the quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson, the transcendentalist. He certainly was not a believer, but he was right when he said that your actions speak so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying.
Right.
And
right,
so actions do speak loudly. And my friends, your actions speak loudly. My actions speak loudly. And you can say whatever you want to say. You can wish for others whatever you want to wish. But at the end of the day, your faith is only as bona fide as the actions that follow or are birthed from it. And I want you to give that a thought today. What do you truly believe? What truly foundations your heart in Christ? Because it's going to show up in your workplace today. It's going to show up in your relationship with your family today. It's going to show up in the way that you interact with anybody today. And I'm challenging you not to have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ in vain. That's about all the time we have for today. Again, thanks for joining us. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.